Hey everyone, welcome back to the Live Support Ops Hangout. This is our weekly podcast that helps you deliver a better support experience to your customers. I'm your host, Chase Clemens. Today's topic is pretty big, so we're going to skip a lot of stuff and just go straight into checking in with our support pros and seeing how they are. So we'll start with Jeff. Jeff, how are things with you and Wistia?
Oh, things are good, Chase. Thank you.
And Carolyn from Buffer, who has given us a brand new view of her apartment, which we're excited for. How are you?
I'm great. Our new little happiness hero in Hawaii did not get blown away by hurricanes, so everybody's really happy at Buffer right now.
That's a net win,
I think. Yeah.
And then our special guest for this show, Phil. Phil, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about yourself for those that don't know how awesome you are.
Oh, well, I don't know about awesome, but, very happy to be here with you guys. So my name's Phil. I'm one of the team leads for the FreshBooks support team. So FreshBooks is a cloud accounting service. And, I'm just really passionate about customer service, always learning about it, improving on it, and, helping my team in whatever ways we can. So I've been a fan of the show for quite some time. So I was very happy that you guys asked me to join today.
Yay.
Also, he's Canadian.
And I am Canadian. So I will
no
say
Canada jokes this time.
And egg and all that jazz.
It adds a little of like a little, I don't know, authority.
Culture.
Culture. That's the word I'm looking for. A little culture to our proceedings here. So that's our support pros.
Diversity.
Exactly. This week, we're talking about kind of a touchy subject for some people. We're going to talk about if and when you should ever fire a customer. You know, we've all experienced some especially rough customers in our time. I'm sure, you could think of at least one or two that you've had to deal with that you're just like, wow, this customer, So when a customer is continually abusive, if they're really high maintenance, anything like that, most teams look for some way to kind of, we all say it a little bit differently. You know, we transition them to another product. We drop them as a customer. We help them find a better product fit. We fire the customer. That's what we do. So we're going to talk about if you should be doing that and when you should be doing that and kind of how to go about that entire thing. So since Phil's the special Canadian guest on this one, we're going to start with you. Phil, have you ever run into a situation where you needed to fire a customer?
You know what? I was actually just talking about this with the other leads for our department the other day. And we were actually really just saying how lucky we are in that in the history of our company, it has happened, but it's been very, very rarely. And we're super thankful of that. And we were sort of talking about why we thought it was so rare. And I think one of the big reasons for us was just in how we treated customers in general. So the way that we look at a customer with a problem is, this person has a problem that they need resolved, regardless of the sort of emotional context of it, how upset they are, how angry they are, et cetera. Now, obviously, that's going to play into how you're communicating with people. And, I'm probably not going to talk to somebody exactly the same that's, just absolutely over the moon with anger as somebody that's just like, hey, how's it going? But at the end of the day, both of them want the same thing. They want their problem solved. So, we were saying if you treat everyone with like the, hey, let's give this person the 100% best help that we can give them, regardless of if they're upset or regardless of if, they're happy, that sort of conditions your customers to the fact that they don't have to get upset or get angry to get what they want. And you're going to be giving them your best no matter what. Now, that being said, we have had some situations in the past where it's, come up that, hey, this guy, it's just not going to work. He's obviously very upset. He, we can't solve his problems, et cetera, et cetera. And at that point, I think it's really understanding what the core problem is for that customer. Because unless you really understand, okay, why is this person so angry and, being so mean or, lashing out to our support reps, unless you really understand that, you're not going to find a solution that's going to work for them. But I think if you really focus on the fact that, hey, this person just actually needs their problem fixed, you can usually get by and find a solution that's going to work for them without having to just be like, hey, that's it. We're not taking this anymore. We're cutting you off as a customer kind of thing.
And Carolyn, what do you think? Do we just have to find that root problem and figure out a way to fix that?
I don't know. This one's hard.
This is going to be the hard show where we're all still trying to like walk through this and figure it out all together kind of thing.
Okay. So I've actually witnessed the firing of a customer one time. And it wasn't at Buffer, and it was the right decision. And it, at least in my opinion, at the time, it was the right decision. There have been one or two other situations in this job that I have said, okay, this is the time. And Joel has talked me out of it. And of course, he's turned out to be right because we were able to turn it around and make the customer happy. Now, I say he turns out to be right because we ended up with a happy or at least a less unhappy customer. Somebody else might say that's wrong because even though you ended up with a happy customer, you spent, you know, 6 hours in meetings and conversations about it, and then another, you know, 2 days of your life from the emotional toll that it took. So I think that usually it is. I think Phil's right in the sense that they're not upset about nothing, right? Like usually there is a root cause, and if you can solve that, that's great. If not, then that might be a different situation. So that's sort of from the SaaS perspective. I do think that I worked at an agency two jobs ago, and in that situation, like the client agency fit matters so much more. So I think in certain situations where there's many fewer customers or clients and sort of that relationship is much deeper, then it can be a lot more relevant in those situations. In a SaaS company, like where we are, where we help thousands of people a month, short of being so completely abusive that no productive conversation is possible, then yeah, I think it's usually possible to turn it around. But it's up to you whether that's worth the time.
Yeah, especially when you've got a product, you know, with like Buffer, you're talking $5, $10 a month from a customer. Figure that out, you know, figure if it's you and the other C-level people sitting down to talk about this, that's four or five people for 6 hours, like you mentioned. That's a lot of just money going into nothing but payroll for a $10 a month customer.
Or free,
yeah, which put a stick in that one. We're going to come back to that one because I think it changes a little bit. Jeff, has Wistia ever had to let a customer go?
Not many, but it has happened. I have a pretty, it's not a hard and fast rule, but I start to think about the firing scenario when someone's being abusive towards one of my team members. And I think that it's okay for us to sit here and say short of them saying they're going to come to that person's house and physically threaten them, we shouldn't fire them. But I do think you have to think about what the part of my job is setting the tone for the people on my team that what they do matters, and that we're not just going to, give in to anybody who wants to be, abusive and mean. And you get the customer base that you support. I think that that's true because mean people will bring their mean friends. So
that's not a party I want to be at.
No, I think that the thing that Phil said is definitely right, that sometimes you can find a root cause. The other thing that I think you have to be good at is identifying somebody who is about to go off the rails and be very clear with them about what's going on. So I've certainly gotten emails before from somebody who tracked down my email and was like, hey, one of your customer champions is not doing right by me. And I think it's my position to find out whether that's true or not. 999,000 times out of 10,000, it's not the customer champion that's doing something wrong. And you know, part of my job is to understand where the customer is coming from. Part of it is to communicate to them, hey, these guys are fantastic and you should give them another chance, and that it's not cool to just throw around accusations if you don't 100% know what you're going on about. So I kind of recall a situation where someone was really upset about a feature that they swore this particular customer champion had removed from their account. Never had a feature like that ever. Right. And so setting that person straight while still saying, I understand why this is valuable, makes a lot of sense. Actually, it's a great idea. Maybe you had a dream about it, whatever. But then it's not okay to just rant and rave to me and ask for someone to be fired or something. And it's not okay to treat them that way. So there's definitely a balance to be hit. But I think when you start to find somebody who is being abusive towards a team member, it's totally okay to at least give them the option to say, like, we'll give you your money. If what you want is money, like, we'll give you your money back. No worries. But we're also not going to try to support somebody who doesn't want help.
Yeah. And that was one of the things where a couple of listeners had written into us, which if you haven't yet, check it out, supportops.co/next-week. We ask you to just send your thoughts about next week's topic in a little bit. That way we can share them on the air like this. So Mariah from Runkeeper actually wrote in, and she had a great point. She was talking about it's important to differentiate between a difficult user and a frustrated or abusive one before you take action. Phil, do you think that distinction is important? You know, you talked about finding the root cause that's happening here. At what point, like, what's the line between they've got a problem that can be fixed and they're just being abusive? Like, how does that play into when we fire a customer?
Oh yeah, it's definitely an important line, because I mean, it's two completely separate situations. Somebody that's upset or you know, angry even that whatever problem exists. I mean, they're angry over a problem, and you resolve that problem, that usually resolves that behavior, you know, because they're angry because there's problem ABC. So if you fix problem ABC, usually, you know, they're you know, happy with it. Now, somebody that's being abusive to your staff, you know, that's a total shift in that, because obviously, you know, they're upset about something, but they've taken that and removed that from, it's no longer about what the problem is that they're having. Now it's, you know, me versus you as a company and, or as an individual, and, you know, I'm going to take you down, kind of thing. And so, I mean, there's definitely a shift there. And I mean, I tell everybody on our team, you know, if somebody's being abusive to you, we're not going to stand for that. You know, I'm not paying my team to sit on the phone and just get verbally abused by somebody. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that calls and says, oh, well, this is stupid, why did you do that, you know, swear, expletive, that doesn't mean that person is abusing you. You know, it means they're upset about something. You know, there's definitely a difference. You know, if somebody just, for example, we had somebody who built an integration with FreshBooks using our API with a homebrew system that they had internally. And the integration that they made was terrible. And it was looping calls every like half a second, making, you know, 60,000 calls a second, yada, yada, yada. And so like our ops team was like, okay, guys, like we have to start throttling your API calls because this is ridiculous. And we told them this and they didn't do anything about it. And then, you know, we followed up with them again and they didn't do anything. And so finally we said, okay, hey, you know, we started throttling, et cetera. And so this obviously broke their integration. And so they called us just absolutely livid, you know, you guys have broken our system. We have invoicing to do tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. And this is all broken. And you know, cursing and swearing, et cetera. And, you know, in a case like that, they were, you know, personally attacking the individuals that were involved in it and, you know, saying, you know, stuff about them and whatnot. And so at that point, it was just really being open, clear, and honest with them of, hey guys, like we would like to resolve this with you. Now, you know, yelling, screaming, et cetera, I understand you guys are frustrated, but, you know, personally attacking any of us isn't going to help us help you. And what we want to do is help fix this out. We've offered already, you know, to take a look at the code you guys have made, and that's not something that we normally do. But, you know, just provide it with us, you know, provide us with that information. We'll take a look at it, and, you know, we'll see how we can help you out. because we do want to help you out. And, you know, just really making it clear on the distinction between, you know, I understand you're upset and that's okay, but lashing out, you know, that's not going to get us anywhere. And I find usually most people, you know, are able to, you know, sort of see that and see that distinction when you point it out and, you know, realize, okay, you know, you actually want to work with me. I'm not sure I believe you, but let's give it a try kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, take it from there.
I think that you said something really good in there. Well, you said a lot of good things in there, but one thing that you said that I don't think we've talked about enough is we tend to talk in absolutes, but it's really good to remember that someone may listen to us, you know, sort of ramble on, and then they go to answer one of their own really tough emails, and they're like, man, it is not as black and white as they make it seem. And that sometimes you make exceptions for people, but that if you wrap the exception that you make in the "we don't do this for everybody," that actually can go a really long way with someone who sort of at their core does want to come up with a fix. Yeah. They really do remember when you say something like, you know, I'm going to do this for you because I think, you know, given the situation, it makes sense. It's not something that we just do for everybody. Obviously you can't abuse that power, but I think that you should be honest about it when you do it, because otherwise you're creating the expectation that you're going to do that for them whenever they need it.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised. I thought you were going to say the exact opposite.
What's that?
Because I feel like previously we had a conversation where, like, I think you talked to, I'm going to forget the exact word you used, but like the things that you do only when you have enough people, or if they cry hard enough, or if they ask the right person, or if they like bully you enough, and like those things, like doing those things for some people and not others can be really dangerous.
It can be super, super dangerous. But I think if you got somebody on a cliff and they're either going to take to the world and say, Carolyn from Buffer is the evilest person and Buffer in general should just burn in a fiery pit.
Don't tweet that.
Yeah, exactly. Please don't tweet that. I mean, tweet that about Chase because it's true, but yeah, don't tweet that about Carolyn. She's very sweet. When you're stuck in that situation and all they need is for you to do one thing, I can understand going above and beyond as long as you wrap that action in, hey, like this right here is something I would never, ever do, but it's the only thing that we can do to fix your situation, and I do want to fix it. And they're like, okay, I get that. I think too often we reach for that, like, way too early, right? Instead of giving them the bad news, we just say, like, hey, yeah, totally fixed it up, like, just no big deal, and then expect that they're going to go on their merry way and never come back. They always come back. Maybe that's what I didn't say last time that I should have said this time, is, like, you at least have to be very, very clear with them about whether this is a one-time thing or something that you can do again and again and again.
And it's okay to say it's a one-time thing. Like, I do that all the time, where it's typically we don't do this, but in this one case, here, we did this for you. Don't expect us to do it, like, weekly, monthly, or anything else. I mean, that's just it. Like Jeff mentioned, it can kind of walk a customer back from that point of no return, jumping off the cliff kind of situation. Mm-hmm. So speaking of, you know, when you look at a customer like that, when you're doing these one-time things for them, or you're making exceptions for them, or, you know, trying to still work with them even if they're getting kind of frustrated and mean, that kind of thing. Carolyn, do you think it changes from a paying customer to a free customer? Like, should we treat paying customers, should we put more effort into them than those free customers?
We don't. But like you said, for Buffer, it's like a $5 to $10 thing. So, I can't really speak for companies that, like, if they lose one customer, it really changes their world and their top line. Yeah, I mean, we don't, I mean, at that point, I don't think what you're really trying to recover is the account, right? Like, in most of these cases, these people go away anyway, right? Like, they are not happy. You can sometimes prevent them from, like, anywhere from, like, giving you a one star to, like, trashing you on Twitter to, like, actually threatening legal action. But you're probably not, there's a good chance that you might not end up with, like, a happy lifetime customer, right? So at that point, I don't know if really money is that important anymore, because it's more just about parting on good terms.
Yeah, I don't think you should ever have a customer that, and so when we talk about this, we're talking, like Caroline mentioned earlier, SaaS apps. We're not talking like client boutique kind of stuff where you've got maybe five clients total. Like losing one of them, that's 20% of your or however much of your income. That's a lot. But with SaaS apps, it's clients can come and go. It's you know, it's not one of those where $5 every month is really going to make that big a difference. And if it's wearing on your support team to talk with that customer, then at that point, the benefits of just, you know, helping them move on just works out a little bit better. Ren, we were talking about some of the listener messages that got sent in earlier. Ren said, under the right circumstances, it's absolutely worthwhile to fire a customer. If you're hearing repeatedly from somebody who's unhappy with a product, incredibly rude, abusive, you just got to reach a point where that it's smart to let them go. She wanted to make a point about how you don't want to sacrifice your team on this altar of customer happiness. You know, you don't want to have your support team come in and be just like upset to come to work, or when they see a customer's name in the inbox, be like, oh no, not them again. Gah, you know? So yeah, that's something to think about. So, you know, if we're talking about, you know, I think we're all pretty much on the same page where sometimes it's necessary. So Phil, how, if your team decides it's necessary to help this customer move on, to fire this customer, how do you go about how do you go about letting the customer know that and then putting some kind of plan in place for going forward?
Our breakup schedule?
Yeah, breakup schedule. It feels, and it was so funny because Chris Gallo pointed this out too. He's like, some of these are like middle school breakups, you know? They're lots of fussing and crying and screaming and he said, she said, and, you know, I feel like that's kind of Twitter in its essence. But that's sometimes what happens.
Well, I think the really important piece is actually before that, in that, you know, just trying to actually have the foresight and spot when you aren't going to be right for somebody. I mean, I'm the first one to tell our team, and our team here is great in the fact that when somebody calls us and says, you know, hey, what is FreshBooks, or I'm using your 30-day trial, and how do I do this, et cetera, we'll be the first ones to tell you, okay, you know what, based on your workflow, based on what your needs are, et cetera, we're probably not the right fit for you. You know, you might want to check out whatever, you know, ABC of our competition, because they can do, you know, that feature. And I think that's a really important one for starters, just because that's going to save you a lot of that grief and frustration, because a lot of that anger that comes into those situations with those customers is the fact that it's like, I spent, you know, this many months building up all my, you know, records in your system, and now it doesn't work, and now I got to spend all that time invested into somewhere else. So I think that's a really key thing to start off with. But as far as how we actually break up with somebody, you know, obviously we're going to exhaust every measure that we can, you know, before we get to that point. You know, see if we can find a solution for this person, see if we can find some way, you know, that we can make something work for them. And if we can't, then, you know, so be it. You know, usually what we'll do is, or I shouldn't say usually, because we've done it so infrequently that, you know, the handful of times that it has happened, you know, we've given the customer a call and just said, you know, hey, you know, we've noticed that recently, you know, there's been a lot of issues. You had a lot of issues with A, B, C, D, et cetera. Now, you know, we would love to keep you as a customer, but, you know, we don't also want to be an impediment on your business. You know, we're here to help make things easier for you, and we're obviously not doing that. So, you know, we want to help you, you know, make the right choice for your business. And, you know, that obviously doesn't seem to be us. You know, have you checked into anything else already, et cetera? And if they haven't, if they don't know, you know, what other options they have, we have a really good idea of what our competition, you know, does and doesn't do. And so, I mean, we can give them an honest suggestion, just say, hey, you know what, well, you might want to check out this company because they do that. And just, you know, telling them that sort of information gives them that little extra bit of reassurance that, you know what, hey, we do actually care. You know, we're not just like, all right, hey, you're done. You know, just because we didn't work for you, it doesn't mean we want your business to burst into flames and, you know, fall into a pit in the earth. You know, we do still care that you find a solution that works for you. So this one would probably be good. And what do you need from us? You know, we'll pull whatever information that you need from your account. We'll help you export it out. Don't worry about paying us. You know, we've already turned off your billing profile, so your account's free at this point. You just tell us how long you want, you know, you want the account to remain open, and you know what other stuff you need from us. And you know, regardless, I think regardless of the relationship that you had with the customer, you know, there's it's the old thing of like two wrongs don't make a right. Just if they lash out and they're mean to your support team and whatnot, it doesn't do you any good to do the same back to them. And you know, that's just going to further add fuel onto their fire when they leave and go to, you know, small claims court of customer service, Twitter, or whatever else it may be. And so, you know, just show them with that, like, you know, parting touch of like, hey, you know what, we, you know, even though this is goodbye, we still want to, you know, we still want to help you out, and, you know, maybe send them off with a hug and a little smiley face.
I want to address something in there, because I think that that's the real question of this podcast, isn't like, yeah, when you're, when people are being abusive to your team, it's a really clear cut. But I think it's much harder when you have the situation that you described, which is that you're just not the perfect fit for them, and you have a completely amiable relationship, and they've never been rude, and all they are is sad because you keep not being able to meet their needs. And like, I've been in this situation before where I've said exactly that, like, hey, it doesn't seem like this is the right fit for you. Like, we haven't been able to meet the last 12 times you've needed something. Like, this isn't fun for you. It's really not fun for you, and it's not fun for us. So like, why don't we help you move into a different, and like, I've seen it where the customer was shocked and like thought that that was the craziest idea in the world, and was like, what, you're leaving me? Like, no. And that was the most confusing one, because it's like, oh, well, sure. Okay. Well, then we'll turn your billing back on. But like, you know that ultimately it's just going to be 47 emails a month that are like, I'm so sad that you don't do this, and I'm so sad that you don't do that. And like, I don't know. Do you ever give up on somebody who doesn't want to leave?
That's a good one. So with the person that was sending in, you know, 47 emails a month, is the buffer team responding to like every single email?
So this wasn't actually at this job either, but yeah, of course. Of course, always. I'm so sorry. I wish we could meet that need. I'm sorry we can't.
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes it's
damn sorries.
I love sorries.
I know, but listen to how much that's emotionally grinding on you. Like, if somebody writes in, they're like, hey, can you do this? We're like, no, sorry. We might not even say sorry. We might just say, no, at this time, we're not going to do that. And it's so much simpler to say.
I know, but I get my whole career is based on absorbing other people's pain.
Oh my gosh, please.
I'm just kidding.
Don't worry, Carolyn. I'm Canadian. I say sorry to thank people. So
yeah, I
okay, Carolyn, maybe yeah, you're Canadian.
Just, yeah, you're secretly Canadian.
Well, I'm from New York. That's like close.
Close.
Yeah, I think that you're right, that can be really tough, and maybe I'm just lucky that we don't have a ton of that. But people tend to self-select. People tend to self-select if they're like, hey, I keep asking for crazy things and you guys don't want to do it. Like, is this the right platform for me? And when they ask that question, it's like, that's a really great question. I mean, maybe we're not. Like, here's where we're going. Does this sound like this is where you want to go? And if they answer like no, it's like, okay, well, here's what I can do for you. I can go up to 3 months back, you know, in your billing, and I can refund you that, no problem, with single button push here in the billing system. And hopefully that'll be enough to like help you switch over. It's gonna suck, obviously, to re-embed all your videos. In our case, it's like, it can be really tough. But you know, if you've got your eyes on another platform, and normally the customer at some point has said like, by the way, I'm really looking at this platform, like they have everything I need. It's like, hey, if that's the case, like, you know, it would really, really benefit you and us if you use their services. Like, you should build your business on their services if they have what you need. And it would really free us up if we didn't have to tell you no all the time. So I don't know. I guess I've never experienced where someone is just completely oblivious to the fact that we may not be the right fit for them. And they don't do some sort of research even on their own to say like, by the way, like, this other service is totally kicking your butt on, like, you know, interactive clown adding to videos like upon upload, and we're like, yeah, you're right. They really are just cleaning our clocks on that one, man. You know what you should do is you should use them.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever a time where you want to keep a customer that isn't a good fit at the end of the day. Whether, you know, we've kind of talked this episode about being abusive, you know, but even for ones that just aren't, you know, that are looking for things that you don't offer, it's okay to say we're not the right fit. And I think after, you know, I've had a couple of customers before where it's, you know, 45, 50, 60 emails of, do you do this? No. Do you do that? No. Do you do this? No. And they're like, well, what do you do? And it's like, we do this. This is all we do. There comes a point where it's like, you know, the emails that they write in, it's okay to wait an hour or so before you get back to them. Or if it's, you know, five different feature requests in a day, you don't have to reply to every single one of them. Just one's enough. And you know, kind of, it sounds bad, but it's okay to put customers in timeout for a minute just to let everything kind of like chill off.
And, or yourself.
Yeah. Or yeah. So it gives me a chance to get up and walk around for a bit. I think we don't have to, you know, you don't want to leave a customer hanging, but if the customer knows what the situation is and knows this is kind of where our product's going, if they keep sticking with you, but still asking for this, 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 and that, that they know you're not going to do, then it's okay to kind of, I won't say like ignore them, but like don't put as much of a priority on them. If that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And really just being like clear and honest with the customer as well. You know, like Carolyn and Vincent were saying, or Shades, you know, it's you know, this isn't what we do. You know, we do this and this, and that's what we do. And just really, you know, telling your team it's okay to tell a customer that, like, hey, you know what? I think that is a great idea. You know, that is a great suggestion. You know, that's not where we're going with our service, though. So, you know, I'll pass it along to the product team, or, you know, whatever sort of flow that, you know, your company has for, you know, things like feature requests and suggestions. But, you know, being honest with them that, you know what, you know, I can toss that idea along, but I will tell you, you know, it's not likely that that's going to be anything coming down the pipeline in the next at least year, or, you know, 2 years, or, you know what, we'll probably actually never do that for these reasons. You know, the worst thing you can do to get yourself in those situations is, you know, get into that, you know, just I want to please everybody mode, and just, oh yeah, that's a great idea, I love it, you know, I'm totally going to pass that along, let's add that in for you, you know, all right, sweet, let's hopefully, you know, get that in soon. And then, you know, you have this customer that's like, oh wow, these guys are really open and receptive to ideas, and it looks like they're going to add this in, so I'm just going to keep sending these in, and they're obviously going to change the entire app so it fits me perfectly. And you know, you get people that get in that mentality when you get like that. And we had a customer like that last year where we had a new hire this guy called in when he was on his trial, and he spoke to this one of our employees that was, you know, just new fresh to the company, and she just didn't feel comfortable, you know, telling a customer like, we don't do that, or we're not going to do that. So she was always trying to find every little kind of weird solution and workaround to fit this person's needs. And then whenever they had something that we didn't do, it was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to pass that along to our product team. So this customer got it, you know, into their head, you know, over this 30-day trial and whatnot. And then they ended up signing up for a paid account that, hey, you know what? Yeah, they'll always find this workaround for me, and they'll, you know, they'll take all these suggestions and stuff. And it came down to a point a couple months down the road where we actually had to, you know, have a conversation with the customer of like, hey, you know what? We're really sorry, but, you know, we gave you some false expectations in our communication to you. You know, we weren't super clear on, you know, the fact that, yeah, you know, we'll definitely take those ideas from you because we live off ideas. I mean, we get a lot of the ideas for our app from our customers. That being said, you know, we get thousands of ideas a week, and there's no possible way that we could implement all of them. Otherwise, the system would break for everybody. It wouldn't be usable for anybody. So you know, we're really sorry about that communication and where we threw you off the path. But here is what we can do, and here's what we're working towards, and will that fit for you? And in that case, it didn't. You know, we just ended up, we refunded the customer. He'd been with us for like 3 months or something. We refunded him all his money and you know, helped him transition to a system that was better for him. But yeah, just being okay with telling a customer that's not where you guys are going, so that you don't fast forward a year down the line and have somebody that's like, I asked for this 52 times and you guys still haven't done it. And, you know, and then how upset are they going to be at that point when they're, you know, they're a year invested into you as opposed to 30 days or a free trial or whatever it may be.
For sure.
Yeah, that's kind of, I got nothing to add. Carolyn, Jeff, anything to add before we close the topic out?
Love it.
Oh, I'm touched.
Oh, see, this is great. This is why we bring in special Canadian guests like this.
How many stories were in that last segment? There are a good, if somebody can tell me how many, there were a good number of stories in there.
I guarantee it was a record.
Actually, no, we have Carolyn on this podcast.
Yeah, so, yeah, I was going to say.
That's true.
I got to tell you, Phil, nowhere near a record, but story versus story, I think you definitely won. You win, right. Man. You got,
I'll
you
take
win.
It. I'll take it.
We got to give the special guest something that they can take home with them.
Chase, I'll make myself a little cutout paper trophy.
I liked your sorries.
Thank you.
They sound better when they're Canadian. Like the sorry doesn't have as much of a sting.
So
well, we
true.
We have a lot of practice. A lot of practice. All right. Usually it's the first word that we learn, actually.
So let us know what you thought about this episode. You can get in touch with us, supportops.co/question, or email any of us. I'll make sure all of that's in the show notes. And if you did keep track of how many stories there were, that was a horrible Canadian accent. But if you kept track of those, please let Jeff know, because I'm sure he's dying to know.
I want to know too.
Gotta know.
So that brings us to the best part of this week. It's this week's shoutouts. These are the things that are making us happy. So happy we want to shout them from the rooftops and let you know, hey, these are making us happy. So we'll start with Carolyn on this one. Carolyn, what are you shouting out this week?
Okay, I'm shouting out Simple Bank.
Simple? Wait.
Have I
is that been... not? No. Is that not the bank that just had like an epic customer service meltdown when their card stopped working like a couple days ago?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay, so excluding them, excluding that moment before that.
I wasn't part of that. Or at least I got their email that said the cards weren't going to be working from this time to this time, so I didn't try.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But other than that, they're great.
People who were affected by that. But yeah, okay, so good point. All good companies have hiccups. Yeah, what I like about them is that, I'm an obsessive budgeter and, I used to do it by hand in that every single time I would pay for anything, I would mark it down. And now I just have like goals that are set up in Simple, and every time I spend money, I spend it from a certain goal. So like goals are often thought of as like save money towards something, but I just put money into it and then spend out of it so that I can keep track of like where I'm spending from and whether I'm within or not within my budget. So I think it's great. And I emailed them and asked them about a question and they got back to me. And the answer was, yeah, we're working on it, but I'll take that.
Jeff, what are you shouting out this week?
This week I'm shouting out Grantland. The sports writer, sports writing site. I have no idea what the right word for this place
publication.
Yeah, publication.
There you go.
A digital publication about sports. With football coming up, they've got a lot of great articles about things that are relevant to my interests. They just tend to go way deeper than stuff about, you know, stuff on like ESPN or something like that. They really, it's actual journalism. So I encourage you to check it out. Even if you don't care at all about sports, they tend to find a good angle. Something that will make you interested in watching a sporting event or something like that. So good writing and great concepts, Grantland.
Phil, what's your Canadian shout out?
So mine's actually a service that I haven't actually really got to try in depth. I'm just using a demo, but I'm just excited about it. So it's a company called Sidekick Pro, and they do a like HTML5 layover help page. So you can make basically like walkthroughs, visual walkthroughs with audio cues and layover a page. So you can embed it within your website and then have somebody sort of guided through on like a little visual tour. So that has me very excited just in the fact of like, it's a fresh idea and I haven't seen it before. So I was rather happy and elated when I saw that.
Awesome. And then mine for this week, you know, cable companies get a lot of crap every now and then, but I will say that the one we use, DirecTV, actually made me happy this week because they picked up the SEC network. And like Jeff mentioned, football is coming. It's another couple of weeks since I'm excited. So, yeah, I'm super glad they picked up the SEC network just because that's kind of where I watch all my football games. So kudos to DirecTV for getting one right, finally. Yay. With that, this Hangout's in the books. We'll have all the show notes up at supportops.co for, supportops.co as soon as we can for next week. I was just looking at what we've got for next week. It's a great topic that is loading. Oh, yeah. we're going to be looking at, can you have a career as a support pro, a happiness hero, a customer champion, whatever you want to call them? Can you make a career out of doing customer service, customer support, like we do, or is it just kind of a stepping stone to something else? So let us know what you think. Head over to supportops.co/next-week. Get those comments in and then we'll share those on the air just like we did for the three lovely folks today. So yeah, check that out and then let us know what you think. Oh, besides that, I'm Chase. Until we see you again, have an awesome week.